What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is the afternoon All Local.
Donald Trump back on the campaign trail. He is in Michigan today, critical state in this election. He is set to campaign in the city of Flint, Michigan. He will participate in a town hall style meeting with his former press secretary, now the governor of Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Those are always fun, those town hall styles.
News Nation national correspondent Robert Sherman is also in Michigan. He joins us live now on KRLD. Robert, tell us about 2 days after that attempted assassination at the golf course in Florida. What is security like around the campaign now?
You know, I mean, it's one of those things in which, I mean, you heard the former president come out last night in which he praised the Secret Service for all of their efforts and everything that happened over the weekend, but saying that he'd like to see his detail beefed up a little bit. We know from local law enforcement on the ground here in Michigan that they will have a bit of an upped presence here. This event is going to be taking place inside, which we know, talking with the Secret Service, that's their preference for all of these events. Those are much easier venues to secure. But, I mean, the main thing that you're hearing from the Trump campaign is that they want normalcy. They want to go full speed ahead. They are not changing their schedule this week. He's in Michigan today, Long Island, New York tomorrow, and then North Carolina this weekend. I mean, they want this to be unimpeded, and they want to continue with their aggressive campaign schedule. So we'll see if anything changes out there. But that's their goal, is to get back to business as usual.
Are the messages going to change at all now that we've had a second assassination attempt?
You know, I mean, it remains to be seen. I mean, we've not heard anything, you know, vocal about that. Although, I mean, you remember like the lead up to the RNC in which the former president said that, you know, he wants to have a bit more of a unifying message. And, you know, that was part of his RNC speech. And some will contend that it has not been as unifying since then. You can make your own opinion on that. But I mean, we've not heard anything formal on all of this. But we have heard, you know, these calls for, you know, no more political violence. You know, we have heard these calls from the Trump campaign, you know, to focus in on the issues and, you know, to get past, you know, this stage that we're in. So will we hear about that today? Possibly. We know he's going to talk heavily about the economy, heavily about the automotive industry here in Michigan. That's what's formally on the docket. But of course, as you know, I mean, everything, you know, can change in an instant out here on the campaign trail.
And Michigan is such a critical state, Robert. What do the latest polls show there?
Yeah, I mean, they're indicating it's a toss-up, and it's going to come down to the wire here. And you're so right that Michigan is such a critical state. I mean, you look at the math of all of this, right? I mean, at the end of the day, getting to 270 electoral votes and winning the presidency is a math game. If the former president were to take every single state in the Sun Belt, that'd be Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, and even Nevada, which is not a given, he still needs one of these states up here in the so-called blue wall. At least one of them needs to go his way. Some have pointed to Pennsylvania as the granddaddy of them all with 19 electoral votes. Michigan, you know, is a significant state up here as well. You know, so if he does well in the Sun Belt, still needs one of these states. And right now, what we're seeing in the latest Decision Desk HQ average is within a percentage point separating these two candidates, even with some polls coming in after that debate just a few days ago. So it is anybody's race up here.
And I know that in Michigan, the union vote is so important. Now, the United Auto Workers, one of the biggest up there, has come out in support of Kamala Harris. And I guess we're going to hear from the Teamsters this week.
Right. And that is the distinction that the Trump campaign continues to make here is, you know, I mean, what a lot of these union heads are saying compared to what the union members are saying. So the head of the United Auto Workers Union up here in Michigan, they are putting their lot in with Vice President Kamala Harris. But the Trump campaign sees opportunity among some of the members, you know, who they believe that they can peel away from union leadership, which is a similar sentiment that they're looking at, say, the culinary union, in Nevada, for example, which is the largest union in that state over there. I mean, they're hoping for a similar strategy. So their goal is to not go after the top brass in these unions, but these everyday members, and try and peel those votes away. Will that strategy work? Remains to be seen.
It's News Nation's Robert Sherman with us in Flint, Michigan. Accounts held by teenagers on Instagram private in an attempt to make it safer for children. That is amid a growing backlash against how social media affects young people. I'm going to bring in CBS tech expert Ian Schur to talk with us about that right now.
How you doing?
Doing great. So how exactly is this going to work, and what age groups is it going to affect?
Yeah, so pretty much it affects anyone under the age of 18. So that's the first part. And the idea here is that they want to make sure that anyone who is under the age of 18 is being treated in a way that is not going to be bullying, harassment, stuff like that. And so the idea they have is, okay, if you're on Instagram, you're under that age, we're going to reduce the number of people you can interact with. We're also going to protect your account, and that restricts who can contact you, some of the settings, all sorts of stuff like that. And hopefully, by setting up those guardrails, they're going to be able to solve some of these problems that exist.
How in the world are they going to be able to police this? Because there's kids that are going to lie about their age.
I know many who have for many years. And, look, they say that obviously the system is not going to be perfect, though they are building an artificial intelligence, one of the words that everyone likes to use these days, but they say they're building an AI that's able to identify when someone is likely to be under the age of 18. And so it'll probably catch the younger crowd a lot easier, but it's possible that that might help. I know that the AI that they've built in the past to identify, for example, terrorists on their network has been very successful. I don't know if you want to put those two groups, teenagers, terrorists, in similar buckets, but I think it certainly says something that they're trying to solve it without, completely getting rid of Instagram altogether, which is part of what some parents are asking for.
So as for the content that they're trying to protect these kids from, I think they're referring to it as sensitive content. Who determines what is and isn't sensitive content?
Yeah, that is where the rub is, isn't it? So generally speaking, the technology that Facebook has and Instagram has is able to broadly kind of sort a lot of stuff into specific buckets, right? So there's stuff that's comedy, there's stuff that's politics, there's stuff that it's all sorts of entertainment, right? And so they believe that they were able to kind of identify when something is likely to be bullying, eating disorder, anxiety, depression related, and they're going to be able to reduce that. Now, it's not going to be perfect because, gosh, it's even hard for me and you to agree on what that stuff is probably, but at the very minimum, it's going to be a start at trying to solve these problems.
Let me ask you this. We're seeing stuff, especially other nations, taking a real active role in trying to, keep down children from access on these apps and so on. Are we going to see more apps do things like this, like Facebook, maybe Twitter, other apps, I should say?
Well, there's definitely more incentive as this goes on, right? Even though Meta is not being forced to do this by the government, the reality is that the interest in regulation around the world is going up, right? There's a lot more efforts to bring the tech industry under heel. And in addition to that, any social network that can kind of figure this out is going to get the blessing of a lot more government officials. So it's it creates a competitive environment. There are some social networks that are proud that they don't follow this stuff, right? In fact, Elon Musk's X, right, which used to be called Twitter, is very proud of the fact that it does allow a lot more of the aggressively angry hateful and sexualized content that a lot of people otherwise would not allow on a social network.
I'm glad you mentioned the other apps, because I'm thinking, you know, if Instagram becomes too restrictive, these kids are just going to hop over to TikTok.
They might. Yes. And that is part of why it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, right? On some level, there's the effort to try and figure out, okay, what is going to keep the government from regulating us, right? And how far can they go? And then there's the other end, which is that any changes they make might push kids to another app. And look, the reality is that that is part of why apps have gotten popular over the years, right? TikTok was seen as a place where teenagers could be more teenagery without their parents seeing what they're posting and stuff like that. So it's possible another app will pop up. That is part of how this system goes. But, you know, just like when you're concerned about whether, you know, it's a new genre of music or a new type of movie or whatever else, there's always kind of something that we have to be involved, right, and really communicate with the kids about what is appropriate and what isn't.
Ian, thanks so much. It's great information, as always. We appreciate the time. CBS tech expert Ian Scher with us here on KRLD. So here's how this is going to work. It starts today, by the way. They're not wasting any time. In the U.S., the U.K., Canada, and Australia, starting today, anyone under 18 who signs up for Instagram will be placed automatically into what's being called a restrictive teen account. Those with existing accounts will be migrated over in the next couple of months. Private messages would be restricted so that teens can only receive them from people they follow or who follow them. And that sensitive content we mentioned, that would be like videos of people fighting or ones promoting cosmetic surgery, those will be limited. And Meta does acknowledge that many teenagers are going to try and lie about their age. So it will require them to verify their ages in different ways. They're working on that right now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tarrant County won't allow the sale of unclaimed bodies anymore.
It started with an NBC News investigation, which revealed a program at the University of North Texas Health Science Center in Fort Worth that used unclaimed bodies for medical research and even sold body parts to companies nationwide, often without families' consent. Before a commissioner vote, the public weighed in.
Please respect them. If they have not made the decision themselves, please do not allow those bodies to go to any university facility or medical facility.
But this woman says if a body is unclaimed, at least use it for science.
What do we do with the unclaimed dead? And they can't find the families or they wouldn't be unclaimed.
The Tarrant County Commissioners chose to terminate the contract with the company that sold the body parts. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Garland police have a suspect in custody in the deaths of two women who were discovered in the bedroom of an apartment this morning. Lieutenant Pedro Barrenos says when officers went to the apartment on Broadway Commons, they noticed the front door had been forced open. When they went inside, they heard gunshots. Then they saw a guy there, 35-year-old Broderick Earl Kennedy, who surrendered to officers at the scene. Now, Barrenos says officers found two women who had been shot.
So inside the apartment, there were two kids. Now, the kids were unharmed, and right now they are in protective custody, and we're trying to reunite them with family.
And then Lieutenant Barrenos says one of the women had already died. They took the second one to the hospital, but unfortunately, she did not make it. One of the victims was Kennedy's wife, 38-year-old Danielle Lachey Kennedy. The other person who died was her mother, 58-year-old Shirley Jean Phillips.
Supposed to be giving massages. Two businesses in Burleson are now shut down because they might be human trafficking. Department of Licensing and Regulation followed up on complaints about Top A Massage on Southwest Wilshire and Best Massage on Northwest Hillary Street in Burleson. And both of them have to shut down for at least 6 months. Investigators went to both places and found things that led them to believe that there's human trafficking going on. We're also getting word that the owner of a Garland massage parlor has now agreed to close up his shop permanently. He's also suspected of trafficking. It's September 3rd when the same department forced the Sin Spa to shut down for 6 months after investigators found human trafficking. New law passed last year allows the licensing board's executive director to put out emergency orders to force these businesses to close if they suspect trafficking going on.
A couple more earthquakes shook up parts of Texas last night. They were centered near Midland, but KRLD's Alan Skaya says people felt them right here in the metro.
The U.S. Geological Survey says the first quake hit just before 8 p.m., centered about 30 miles north of Midland. It was originally rated 5.1 on the Richter scale, but was later revised down to 4.8. Now, the quake did not cause major damage, but a couple people posted on X they felt shaking in San Antonio or Dallas. Both are more than 300 miles away. A second earthquake followed about half a mile to the east about 12:45 this morning. That one measured 2.9. From the 24-Hour News Center, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.